going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And he can't get it through. The Canadians will clear it to center. And now one man back in Roy. Dvorak goes cross ice. And it's picked up by Armia. They scramble a shot. And it kicks off Thompson. And scrims out the other side. Jake Evans almost tied it. He had most of the net to shoot at. And Thompson just did get a piece of it. As the Caps get back into the offensive zone. That was almost disaster in a tie game. It was not. It came out the other side.
Wow, what a goaltending night for Logan Thompson, especially in the third period. When I watch a game like last night, I'm always reminded about something that Tarik El-Bashir said to me 10, 15 years ago on the air. He was talking about the NHL playoffs, and he said the sport this time of year shouldn't be called hockey, it should be called goalie. Logan Thompson, the star last night. Third period, amazing. The Caps take a 2-0 lead in the series. They are headed to Montreal and the Bell Center for Game 3 tomorrow night. Good morning, everybody. Al Kokin will join me in 20 minutes to talk about the game last night. A second straight game where Montreal, I don't know much about hockey, but I thought they played very well in the third period, and the Caps were kind of holding on for dear life last night, courtesy of their goaltender making incredible saves, who, by the way, was a question mark coming into the series off an injury. But we will get to Smoke and Al at 10:25 and do some hockey with Al. But it is the night of NFL Draft 2025 first round, and we'll have coverage here all day long on my show, Chris's show, Craig's show. Craig will be on until 8 tonight, and then Linnell and Toby will take over to host a draft show on the station from 8 p.m. until 1 a.m. I was thinking about this, that if Washington stays at 29 and makes a pick at 29, and every team uses its full allotted 10 minutes to pick, we're talking 280 minutes before Washington would be on the clock. I mean, I can do that math. That would be 4 hours and 40 minutes. That would be 12:40 before they're on the clock. Now, not every team takes 10 minutes. Even when television stretches some of this stuff out, my guess is that they pick sometime between 11:30 and midnight, something like that. Maybe sooner. Some teams go pretty quickly. But it'll be a wait. It'll be a wait for the first time in a while. But the draft is awesome, man. It's also such a good television show every year. Even if, you know, the players that are picked, there's about a 30% chance they'll end up being significant contributors to a team over the next 3 years or within 3 years. And look, every year this is about the quarterbacks, which leads me to this from Marcus. Oh, Marcus. Marcus writes, Kevin, I really hope tonight isn't the Shedeur Sanders show. To watch him watch the board go by without being selected when there are 31 other players who will be realizing their dreams tonight. Please let your ESPN friends know that this isn't about one man. There are so many other beautiful stories to be shared. Thank you, Marcus. Marcus, I do have friends at ESPN, but I'm pretty sure letting them know how you feel won't make a difference. If the other 31 players that get picked in the first round, if they're not quarterbacks, if they wanted the bulk of attention on draft night, they should have played quarterback. Because this sport has always been about the quarterbacks, and tonight is almost always about the quarterbacks, even when the quarterbacks aren't very good and aren't necessarily first-round material. But when you get a story like Shedeur Sanders, the son of Deion Sanders, and the attention that Colorado got because of primetime, because of his sons, plural, Shedeur in particular, because people have been mocking Shedeur Sanders super high in this draft before last year's draft, and now it appears as if he could fall, maybe completely out of the first round. Yeah, this isn't, you know, all due respect to the other players, and you'll get plenty on them. It's not like they get ignored. But this sport has always been quarterback first, quarterback second, and then maybe count five spaces, as Coach Thompson would say, before you get to whatever is next. You'll hear a lot about the other 31 players, but trust me, ESPN, they're not stupid. The show and the attention of the audience will be on the quarterbacks and on where Shedeur Sanders goes, if he goes at all, in the first round. Should be exciting tonight. We got a lot coming up on the show. I promised you I would do corners. We're going to make our picks for who Washington will select on the show today. Craig and Chris will both jump on with me, so we'll do a little 980 pick segment at 11:40. Ben Standig at 12. I mentioned Al Koken coming up at 10:25, and maybe one other guest on the show as well, hoping to get somebody that always joins me this time of year to talk about the draft before the end of today's show. We'll give you guys a chance, hopefully, as well, to weigh in on what you want. But let's get to a big story last night, certainly on social media with a lot of Washington fans, HTTR and HTTC fans. This was the president last night being asked about the new stadium in D.C. and the team name.
When you go back to India, they pull this. They don't know why these names are being taken off. They're trying to. I think it's degrading to the Indian population, and it's a great population, and they like when they're, you know, called by various names. Now, Washington, the Redskins, perhaps that's a little different, a little bit different, but I can tell you that I spoke to people of Indian heritage that love that name and they love that team, and I think it's a much, you know, I think it's a superior name to what they have right now, and it had heritage behind it, it had something special. But a lot of the names having to do with, you know, different places, not just Indians, but I think it's they changed the name of the Cleveland Indians.
You know, he also said, and I don't think we caught it there, he also said something about the name. He said, Redskins, perhaps that's a little different, but I can tell you I spoke to people of Indian heritage and they love that name and they love that team. Maybe we did play that part and I just missed that part. So, look, this lit up social media last night, certainly in our, you know, world of Washington football fans. You know, there's something that I've talked about a few times, and that is, you know, before the stadium got to this state, the city's control again, with the RFK site plan that passed, you know, at 2 a.m. in the morning, courtesy actually of Chuck Schumer, of all people, considering that the president now is weighing in on the team name, that maybe, you know, Trump would somehow tie a return to the city or a quid pro quo on the land being turned over to the city with the team going back to its old name. So this was brought up, obviously, yesterday. Somebody asked him about it. It was not something that he offered up. There's something that Tom Lavero had mentioned in a column about 2 months ago. You know, my first thought was, well, how can he force the team to change the name back? The city now has the land. They have control over the land. They've got a lease that's like 100 years where they can do with the land what they choose to do with the land. Like, what sort of, you know, control or what sort of mechanism could he use to create a scenario in which, and by the way, this would be awesome for some of us, many of us, the majority of us, if somehow he were able to get Josh Harris, who, by the way, has been a, you know, he's donated to Trump and is friendly with Trump and has been friendly with Trump for a while, if they could get the team to go back to the old name. You know, 2025 is much different than 2020. And I thought, I'm like, there's no, how can they do that? Like, they can't. They could take over the city. He's threatened that, you know, in recent months. But Tom wrote something a few months ago in one of his columns, and I was reminded of it. And it's called something called the DC Financial Control Board. The DC Financial Control Board was actually established during the Clinton administration in 1995. It was a five-member body established by by the United States Congress to oversee the finances of the city. It was created through the District of Columbia's Financial Responsibility and Management Assistance Act of 1995. And the board had the power to override decisions by D.C.'s mayor and the city council. Now, it suspended its activities 6 years after it was established on September 30th, 2001, 24-plus years ago, or coming up on 24 years ago, when the district achieved a consecutive budget balanced for the fourth consecutive year. And so they suspended it, but they have the ability, Tom wrote, to resurrect that. Why is that important? Because ultimately the city may control the land, but if Congress controls the finances of the city with a five-member U.S. Congress board overseeing it, they could stop the process of the $850 million going to infrastructure for this deal. What do I think is going to happen to all of this? I don't know. It obviously excited so many people. The idea of, wow, a new stadium in D.C. tied to, courtesy of this administration, a change back to the old name. I would bet against it. I would bet against it. But there's always hope that something could happen. Keep in mind, when he said the Redskins perhaps a little different than the Chiefs and Indians, we know that it's different, okay? The difference being, it is dictionary defined as pejorative, as insensitive. Even though overwhelmingly over the years, Native Americans themselves have said, as he pointed out, they don't have an issue. They don't consider the name to be insensitive. They like the name. They didn't want it changed in the first place. We all know that. We've all followed the story over the years. Forget the outside noise. We've been involved in following this from the inside. We've seen and read every single poll. We know that we had people that we knew, like Cooley, associated with the team, going to many reservations. You know, 40 to 50 reservations over a few year period. And overwhelmingly, they didn't want the name changed. They didn't consider it to be insensitive. Now, every reservation, every tribe is very autonomous. It's a very, you know, autonomous situation. There are over 500 tribes and everybody's got a different opinion. But overwhelmingly, we've seen the polling reflect it's not insensitive to us. We don't think that the name should be changed. However, it is different than Chiefs and Indians. We can acknowledge that as well. because of the dictionary definition, which is why starting 15 years ago, I suggested to Bruce Allen and others, apply for a second non-pejorative dictionary definition. Redskins, noun. This is the second definition. The football team that plays in Washington, D.C. Redskins, noun. A player who plays for the Redskins in Washington. A player who plays for the professional football team who plays in Washington, D.C. Language evolves. There are always updates and new definitions created. And that would end that part of the debate. But we'll see whether or not anything comes of this. My guess is it won't. You know, part of what Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, and ownership, what they were able to do a few months ago is they were able to take the momentum of 12-5, two road playoff wins, 60 minutes from the Super Bowl with a superstar rookie quarterback and say, you know, we don't have to go down this path. But remember, the path that they were trying to avoid because of complexity, A, B, cost, is coming up with a new name, not going back to the old name. Going back to the old name would be a goldmine, and they understand that too. But it's been more about the league pushing back and saying, nope, that horse left the barn. We're not going back to something that's controversial. Whether it should be controversial with people who make it controversial or not, it doesn't matter. We know what the result will be. We will have corporate sponsors that will say their consumers and their shareholders don't like this. And they've already done it. It was hard to do it, but they already got it done. Thank you, Fred Smith. And they're not going to go back to it. That's all I got on that. Honestly, my hunch is not a lot will come of this. That the city controls the land, that the D.C. control board, financial control board, won't be resurrected to stop the city from financing infrastructure for a new stadium, and that eventually we'll see if the stadium doesn't move forward, it would be more because of pushback from constituents, from city council members, from this $410 million cut required in the 2025 budget, things like that. All right, we got a lot of draft to talk about. I have some predictions on tonight's draft. I've got three related NFL predictions, and I've got three related Washington predictions. I'm going to do my three related NFL predictions right now. Then we'll have Koken jump on to talk hockey. And then I'll have my three Washington predictions later on this hour. But I've got three, what I would consider to be somewhat bold NFL draft predictions.
A little hot taken?
Yeah. I was thinking about this actually yesterday after the show. And I did some of this on my podcast yesterday. But I felt, in just looking at the quarterbacks over the last week and then reading about how Shedeur Sanders is dropping, there have been some very damning quotes out there about Shedeur Sanders. You know, anonymous NFL scouts saying the interview processes were disasters, that he's not that good, he doesn't see it. I think a lot of that is true, personally, about his on-the-field performance. But bold NFL draft prediction number one is this. Only one quarterback goes tonight in the first round. Only one. By the way, have you seen Shedeur Sanders, some of the odds on Shedeur?
They've been
over-under on the pick spot was like 9.5 2 days ago because of New Orleans at 9. Now it's 21.5.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because of Pittsburgh would if Pittsburgh doesn't take him at 21, because it certainly appears as if New Orleans will not take him at 21. If Pittsburgh takes Jackson Dart or doesn't take a quarterback, he's not going in the first round unless somebody trades back into the first round to take him. So bold prediction number one is that there's just one quarterback, and it's Cam Ward at number one overall.
Not
you know, the over-under is still at 2.5
You're not a Jackson Dart believer, Kevin?
I'm not a Jackson Dart believer as a big-time starting NFL quarterback.
That we agree. But GMs are dumb, and I could see some GM trading back into the first to get this kid.
I think if somebody trades back into the first to get somebody, it would be Tyler Shook.
Oh, even worse decision, but we can get to that
later.
He's
the one that looks the part at 6'5", with a good arm, throws with anticipation. By the way, I'm not a massive fan of him either. I think he ultimately could be like Will Levis. He could be more of a backup quarterback. I see Jackson Dart and even Shook to a certain degree as products of very good systems. Jeff Brohm at Louisville and obviously Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I Jackson Dart has some moxie to him and has some playmaking ability to him. I don't see Shedeur Sanders. I've been saying this. Denton and I have been talking about this since early in the college football season. And so I don't see a quarterback other than Cam Ward going. It's bold. I'm not saying I'm going to be right. I wanted to be a little bit bold. The over-under on quarterbacks in the first round is 2.5 right now. There's no way we're getting 3. I would go under that. Although I'm a little bit skeptical as to why it's still hanging in there at 2.5. Now, it's costly to go under. Like I'm seeing 2.5 unders minus 195.
Ooh.
So you got to pay to go under. So that's bold prediction number one. Bold prediction number two, and I have to clarify this one. If we take Travis Hunter out of the equation as a receiver, even though I think that's the position that most GMs believe he'll be great at and will focus on first, but because he's wide receiver, corner, whatever, you know, all-time athlete in the draft, whatever you want to describe him at, I'm not going to count him as the first wide receiver taken. So the bold prediction is that the first wide receiver taken, you know, the first wide receiver after Travis Hunter taken, won't be the consensus favorite, Tet McMillan from Arizona. He's currently minus 290 as a favorite to be that first receiver, or if you count Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, the second receiver taken. I think it's going to be another receiver that goes before him. I don't see it with him. He's not Mike Evans. He's not a guy to me that's top half of the first round. And that's where you see him getting mocked. I could see Matthew Golden getting picked before him. I could see Luther Burden being selected before him, even though I don't think Washington will select Burden because of the things that we talked about last week. I love Luther Burden as a player. I could see either one of those two guys getting selected before Tet McMillan from Arizona. So that is my second bold prediction, that the consensus receiver to be taken first, or if you want to call it second, after Travis Hunter, McMillan from Arizona, won't be. Another receiver will go before him. And then lastly, this is bold, I think. Maybe not. The Bengals at 17 will take a pass rusher, maybe Mike Green, maybe Donovan Azaruco from Boston College. And then they will trade Trey Hendrickson. And they will trade him to New England, not Washington. A second and a third rounder. The price will come down from Cincinnati after they draft a pass rusher at 17. And they will deal Trey Hendrickson, who desperately wants out of Cincinnati, wants to get paid. And the price has been too high. They've been asking for a first plus. Once they get their pass rusher at 17, we will see a trade prior to Friday night where Cincinnati picks up a second and a third rounder from New England for Trey Hendrickson. And then the Patriots will have to pay him. Look, the Patriots have the cap space, and the Patriots have the picks. They have 2 third rounders. They've got a second and 2 thirds. Those are the three NFL draft predictions. One quarterback, that's bold. Tet McMillan's not the first receiver or the second receiver, if you want to count Travis Hunter as a receiver, to be taken. Either Golden or someone else will go before him. And the Bengals are going to take a pass rusher, and then they're going to trade Trey Hendrickson by Friday night before the draft. I'll have... Do you have any reactions to any of those?
I'm not sure how bold the trade... I do think like, I think
the trade's not bold. I would agree with you.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, like, with that. I think that is something that is going to happen. New England, as you laid out, like, has all of the space in the world to make that kind of move, and it's definitely one that I know they're very interested in because they need help at that position. So I'm not crazy. It's not the third one is not very hot to me, but Tet, Matthew Golden's stock has risen so much that I'm not buying it in the NFL. I could be wrong because I mean we see fast guys from Texas all the time.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that there's a team that out there that is going to fall or has fallen in love with Tet and is going to take him pretty high.
You know, by the way, if Washington traded back and picked up a third rounder, let's just say, and they had, you know, their second rounder plus the second rounder they got in a trade back, they might be in better position to trade for Trey Hendrickson. Huh? All right, we'll take a 15-minute conversation to talk about the Caps, who just got an absolute stellar performance from Logan Thompson last night. Smoke and Al will join us next. End of the hour, I'll give you three Washington draft-related predictions as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team980.com. We're now streaming. We've got the Team 980 YouTube stream up, streaming my show so you can watch it on YouTube if you want. If you go to watch it, please hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. That's good for us.